How many have I've heard what a forerunner means? Let me ask the question. Yeah, what a forerunner means.
Sarah and I learned about it at IHOP last year, and they described it as being like John the Baptist coming ahead of Christ to prepare the church.
That's right. That is right. Anybody else? Forerunner. What does a forerunner mean? Just shout out. Somebody shout out. Somebody shout out. What is a forerunner? Yeah. Messengers going before you. Yeah, somebody said. Something that precedes. Anybody else? Making straight path. Of course, she just said it, John the Baptist. There's something that the Holy Spirit has been stirring up my heart in the last week or two of, as we prepare for Christmas, as we prepare for this festive season, we kind of take our tradition backwards. We kind of think, you know what, well, we got to prepare the chocolates and the sweets and the this and that and clothes and gifts, which is all great, which is all important, which is all need to do. But where is God taking us to the next level? How many know that He's coming back again? Only one hand goes up. The rest are not ready yet. How many know that Jesus is coming back again? All right. I know you're all kind of saying like, when is He coming? But He is coming, my friends. I just shared with you this vision this man had last night. That the Lord Jesus is coming not as a baby in the manger. He's coming as Lion of Judah. Is coming as King of Kings. Is coming as Lord of Lords. He's coming to reign and rule on this earth. And you and I get the opportunity to reign with Him and rule with Him. How important it is for us to prepare for His coming. You see what happened? We have established religion extremely well. We have established how to have a great church. We've established how to run a great Christmas program. We've established, well, how to do things right. But are we really preparing for His coming? Are we really preparing for His coming? And this story about Zechariah and his wife, that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk to you about Zechariah, who was a pastor of his church of his time, goes and does his priestly duties and goes into the temple, and he is doing his priestly work, and all of a sudden an angel shows up. Won't that be amazing? You're kind of cooking in your kitchen, and all of a sudden an angel shows up beside you. Won't that startle you a little bit? Come on, how many are awake? Are you guys all awake? Talk to me. Are you guys all looking at the buffet? Just look at me for a second. Well, I just want to tell you that we don't pay attention to sometimes what is happening in the supernatural. You know, Christmas season is a supernatural season. Angels showed up, that's supernatural, isn't it? Just picture this, Vance. If the angel of the Lord showed up and said, you're going to be pregnant with a child, would you like that? No, I don't think he would want that, isn't it? But wouldn't it be nice, Tracy, if the angel showed up and said, hey, you're going to be pregnant with a child? You love that, isn't it? I know the ladies would love that. But why did Zechariah get all disturbed and all upset and like, oh my gosh, how do I know what is going to happen? And the angel of the Lord tells him, you're not going to be able to speak for the next 9 months because what I'm about to give you is promised in the book of Malachi. He is going to be coming in the spirit of Elijah, and he's going to turn the children back to the fathers. So let's turn to that chapter, Luke chapter 1, verse 13 to 17. Luke chapter 1, if you brought your Bible today, you know, I know you all had to carry your dishes, so you probably forgot your Bible. Okay, Luke chapter 1, from 13 to 17, let me quickly read that. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness. Say joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth. You see, we don't try to understand this. When the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, there is joy and gladness. See, we have kind of slapped religion onto everything. When the Holy Spirit comes and fills, there is such joy. And not just joy of a temporary joy, an eternal joy. Where the Holy Spirit comes and takes us to that place of saying, I'm going to fill you with joy and gladness. And that's what Zechariah was promised. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor, and will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. There are three things that he came with the news. The first news, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. How many like that? Filled with the Holy Spirit. How did that happen? Here is Elizabeth, who's probably, I don't know, 50 years old, you know, 55, I don't know, whatever. It said they were old, right? Goes and meets Mary, and Mary blesses Elizabeth, and here's Elizabeth's baby, leaps in her womb, and she gets filled with the Holy Spirit. It's in verse 41. In verse 41 it says, and when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, you and I have been given this Holy Spirit, and we have taken it lightly sometimes. I encourage you during this Christmas season, my friends, that do not take lightly what the Holy Spirit has given you. You and I are called to be forerunners. So I'm asking you today, that are you willing to be a forerunner for the coming of the Lord? Zechariah was a forerunner. Or are we going to get caught up with tradition? Are we going to caught up with religion? Are we going to caught up living the life one day at a time, let the life keep going, and I'm going to keep living my life? Or are you going to say, I'm going to move on. As we're getting into 2012, I'm going to step into the new season, the new year, a new era for becoming a forerunner for Jesus. How many would like to do that? I'm asking a very serious question this beautiful day. It's very important how we take this, because he is coming, my friends. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me very clearly when I was preparing for this morning. I said, God, what should I be talking about on this Christmas day? And I was very reluctant to talk about the coming of the Lord. You know, eschatology has taken a different turn altogether. You know, there's been predictions made coming this way and that way. Nobody knows the hour. Nobody knows the time. Nobody knows the season. But he's coming. And he's coming like a thief, when you would not know the hour and the time. You and I need to be prepared. You and I need to prepare ourselves. With what? With the oil. Matthew 25. There's five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. Which one get to go with the Lord? The wise ones, who's filled with the Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Or are you just saying, well, another great Sunday, another great church, another great Christmas, another great year, and life goes on? Or are you saying, I am determined to make a decision in my heart, and I'm saying, I am going to pursue the presence of God. I am going to fall in love with His presence. I am going to follow Him. A question that I've been asking myself lately, I said, Lord, am I living a righteous life? The question that I would like to ask you this morning, are you living a righteous life? You know, just not too long ago, I got a ticket for driving in Toronto. And as I was coming back, and I probably cut a red light, and in the mail, I got a $325 ticket. Isn't that a great gift, isn't it, during Christmas time? And I'm like, oh, no. All right, I'll go to the court, and I'll, you know, you go faithfully, and you just cry for plea and just say, God, forgive me, justice of peace. So I go there and I present my ticket, and I said, what would you like to do? Well, I like to ask for pardon, and I would like to say, I'm sorry, but if I can get some kind of a reduction, would be great. You know, $325 is a pretty big amount. I said, well, are you okay to see the justice of peace? I said, sure, I am okay to meet the justice of peace. So I go in to meet the justice of peace, and he welcomes me, he makes me sit down, and then they kind of do that little ritual thing, reading, you know, this and that, and I kind of wait for all that. And would you like to say anything, sir? And I said, I'm really sorry, sir. I know I've broken the law, which I shouldn't have done. I was in a hurry to go to work, and I made a mistake. That judge just looked at me, and he said, are you a Christian? I'm telling you the truth. I was shocked when he said that to me. I said, yes, sir, I'm actually a Christian. I'm actually a pastor. Oh, not many people tell me the truth. And something really hit me in my spirit that morning when I was there. I said, the truth within us can be recognized by somebody out there. God can use when you become righteous before Him. The light within you is not just meant to be in the church. The light within us is to be out there that will shine within you when we become righteous for God. I'm telling you, Jesus is not coming for a bride that is filled with all spots of anger, spots of unrighteousness, spots of ungodly activities. I am sorry to say that. He's not coming for those. He's coming for one who's willing to pay a price on this life to live a godly life. Which means there are some choices that you and I need to make. We as parents have to talk to our children about some of the shows they watch. Is it okay for them to watch those shows? I talked to my sons. I said, I don't think you need to watch this show. I don't think you need to watch that show. It is important that we as parents have to take bold steps of telling them the truth. We completely forget ourselves when we begin to walk our Christian walk. We think our Christian walk is confined within the church, within the youth group, within the kids' ministry. Our Christian walk is out there, how we live our life. And Zechariah prophesied over his son. And he said, the angel of the Lord spoke to me. He broke the tradition of the family because the mother and father knew they had to name him John. That was given by God. But the religion or the society said, no, you have to name him Zechariah. They broke the tradition. They said, no, we're going to be righteous. We're going to follow what the Spirit of the Lord has spoken to us. And we're going to call him John. Are you willing to break the rules of the tradition and the religious things that we have? Are you willing to say, I am going to willing to walk righteously before Him? It's a question that I leave with you this morning. Well, you know, I have to play both sides. My husband is not in favor of this. My wife is not in favor of this. I know I have to play both sides. No. In God, there's only one way. In God, there's only truth. In God, there's only righteousness. You walk holy or you walk unholy. You walk godly or you walk ungodly. You cannot play with God. You have to stand for the truth. I'm talking to the young ones today. I'm talking to the youth. It is important how you live your life for Jesus. It is very important how you present yourself for Jesus. Your body is need to be kept holy till that perfect one comes into your life. Your thinking has to be kept perfect till the perfect one comes into your life. We completely have undone the Word of God. And we moved into a place of just accepting whatever comes our way. And we have allowed our little mind to have just wander around with ideologies that think that fits your little balloon. Where we begin to say, no, I have to stand on the Word of God. Are you with me so far? I know it's a Christmas day. I need to be giving you a joyful day. But I'm just going by what the Holy Spirit has asked me to do. I want to stand like a forerunner today. And I want to tell you, walk righteously. Live godly life. Live for the truth. Live for the Word of God. And God will bless you. Are you with me so far? I love the prophecy that Zechariah prayed over his son John. Every parent, every adult, I want to pay attention to me for the next 2 minutes on this. It is very imperative that on this Christmas day, when you give a gift to your child, you just don't give a gift to a child and say, but you prophesy over them and you bless them and you speak into their spirit and tell them, walk in truth, walk in spirit, walk in righteousness, walk in godly ways. Because there's something happens when you begin to speak into their life. I love the way Zechariah spoke. You know, Zechariah must have prayed day in, day out. We need praying parents. Marina and I have conditioned our life. I said, we will pray for our sons every moment of our life. We will pray for our church members. We will pray for our family people. We will pray before God. Zechariah was a great priest. And I'm sure he was very faithful being a great priest. But there was a void in his life that he was crying, Lord, I wish we had a child. But he had kingdom values ahead of him. He was serving the Lord faithfully. And God made sure that he fulfilled his personal value, personal goal. Do you have a kingdom value? Do you know for yourself what you want to do in the next year or two? Kingdom values doesn't mean just, doing church duties. Those are all good. Those are all helpful. But how can I be an influence of the kingdom out there? How can I so be filled with the Spirit? The Holy Spirit has not been given to me so that I can just shake a little bit here and fall on the ground and go home and live my life. The Holy Spirit has been entrusted to us so that we can go out there and become the light in the darkness. I'm standing like a forerunner to you this morning, church. And I'm not ashamed and I'm not afraid to say this, that I am willing to pay a price if it needs be. I told my wife and my sons, we're going to serve the Lord till the very last day of our life. It's important because He's coming and He's coming for a spotless bride. Are you willing to be that spotless bride? In Zechariah, prophesied in verse 76, amazingly he prophesied, his mouth was shut for 9 months. And the first thing that came out of his mouth, he must be longing in his heart. Oh God, you've given me a child after all these years. I want to bless this child beyond my imagination and I want to speak. And his spirit within me must be groaning to prophesy over that child. And out his mouth spoke when he said, call him John. And here's what he said. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. And you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. When you speak words over each other, there is life. When you speak words of blessing over each other, God does something. We had Bar Baraka not too long ago. It was the most holy moment that Marina and I walked away with saying, oh God, we thank the parents and the people that agreed to come and receive a blessing and give a blessing. To give to his people the knowledge of salvation. Look, he's preparing him. He's prophesying over John. He's saying, I prophesy over you that you will unashamedly talk about the coming of the Lord. Unashamedly tell them how to attain salvation. Unashamedly tell them what it means that you're living in sin. And unashamedly tell them about repentance and forgiveness of sins. He is prophesying over them. By the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sun rise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Question I want to leave with you this morning. Are you a forerunner like John the Baptist? If you are not, are you willing to be a forerunner for John the Baptist? Have you considered what your life is going to be for the rest of your life till Jesus comes? What do you plan to do with your life? Christmas is going to come again in 2012. Christmas is going to come again in 2013. Do we just want little candies and little Christmas lights and gifts and everything, and we just move on from one Christmas to another Christmas? Or are we willing to say, I want to be a forerunner for Jesus? I want to stand before people and tell them that Jesus is the Lord. I want to tell my family members that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I am not going to compromise. I am going to tell this Christmas season, hey, have you thought about the reason that you're celebrating Christmas? Have you thought about why Jesus came on this earth? Have you thought about why Jesus should be the only way to heaven? Buddha cannot save you. Muhammad cannot save you. Your church cannot save you. The only one who died on the cross, the only one who risen from the dead, the only spirit that rose him from the dead, that's within me. I urge you, I ask you, have you considered Jesus? You know, I just got back from India. And I was shocked with the way life has taken a turn in India. People have just gone on with life and busy and whatnot. I was talking to my own brother-in-law, and he's just become arrogant. He's just like, you know, that's for poor people. You know, what you're doing is all for the church, good for the church. And I couldn't understand. I said, oh God, your Marina and I have been praying for our family, and sometimes they don't get it. We need to pray for our family people, my friends. We need not get caught up with our little party, but need to remember our family people. Ask them, have you thought about Jesus? Have you considered Jesus? He's the only way to heaven. He's the only one who died on the cross. He's the only one who rose from the dead. And he's the only one who stands before the Father. You and I have an opportunity to stand before God, righteous and holy and pure, just by saying, Jesus, you're the only way to heaven. Oh, but you don't understand. My ideology is different. My thinking is different. There are many ways to go to God. Oh, yeah, there are many ways to go to God, but they don't end up to God. There's only one man who, the Son of God, became a son of man, that you and I could become children of God. I urge you, my friends, let this Christmas season be a season where you share at least with one or two people and tell them that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the bridegroom coming for his bride. The horse is running around the earth, as this man showed this vision last night. He's running around this earth, and Jesus is ready to get on that saddle, and he's ready to come for the spotless bride. And I want to close with this. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 37 to 38, the days of coming are like the days of Noah. Do you know that? Matthew 24, 37 to 38. It says, this is the word of Jesus. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will this coming of the Son of Man be. There will be two men in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. We know the story about the days of Noah. The flood came and wiped the whole people on the face of the earth. Only those who remained in the ark survived. That was Noah, his wife, his three sons, and his three wives, and animals two by two. And God gave very clear instruction to Noah. He said, build an ark for me, which took him probably 400 years to build it. And he brought all those people inside. And while they were inside, if you watch the movie, they could hear the screaming outside. People are getting drowned and knocking at the ark. Open the door, let us in, let us in. We are sorry, we should have listened to you. Why didn't he not listen to you? We should have paid attention to you. But the ark was closed. And they went away sailing. And everybody that denied Jesus. Everybody that said, I don't have the time for this story. I don't have for this. This is another fable Christmas story. Stayed under the water. Jesus is the same thing. He's asking us again. The day is coming when he's going to knock at the door. And he's going to look for you. And he who is filled with the Holy Spirit, he's going to call them up and say, come up here. Come, become my bride. And there will be others who will say, I have to go look after my business. I have to go look after my life. I got to go look after my retirement package. I got to go look after my vacation time. I've got to go look after this and look after that. And the door will be shut. And you'll be wondering one fine day, what happened? Why is there such an emptiness on this earth? He who is with the Lord will be taken away. Are you the one who is sure about yourself that I need Jesus? Let's all stand. If I could have the worship team just to give me one more song. I want to ask you this morning this question. You are here this morning, you've been invited by your family, by your friend. I want you to consider this very seriously. I'm not asking you to join my church. I'm not asking you to join a small group. I'm not asking you for your money. I'm asking about your life, your salvation. Are you very sure deep in your heart that Jesus is in with you? Because when Jesus came, his name was called Emmanuel, God with us. Are you very sure God is in you? Are you very, very sure Jesus lives in you? If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, I want to pray with you this morning. I want to shake hands with you. I did that in 1998 when Marina and I walked into the church with our two little boys. Our founding pastor, John Arnott, said the very same thing, what I'm saying. You may know a lot about Jesus, but do you really have a personal relationship with him? A story comes to my mind. It's like you going to Washington, D.C. or going to Ottawa and knocking at the door of the prime minister or the president and saying, I would like to meet Stephen Harper or Barack Obama. And the message goes to them and say, there is a man by the name of so-and-so wants to meet with you. Would you like to meet him? And the man and Barack Obama or Stephen Harper would say, I really don't know who this man is. I've never met him before. So I really do not want to meet him. The message comes back to the man and says, sorry, sir. The prime minister or the president says he doesn't really know you. Do you really know him? Yes, I do know him. I have watched him on television. I've heard him speak. I have been in some of his meetings where I've sat in the group. He's waved at me. I've shook hands with him. I took a picture with him. But sir, do you really personally know him as a friend? And no, sir, I do not know him personally. Then the guard gives a very unfortunate answer and says, I am sorry, sir, then you cannot really see him. So shall be Jesus and you. Are you sure you know him personally? I want every eye closed, and I want you to ponder for a moment. Are you really sure that you know him deep in your heart? Have you said in your heart, Jesus, come and be my Savior. Come and live in me. I want to give a brand new start. I want to be a Christian who follows your word, studies your word, believes in you. And if you've never done this in your life, what a gift you can give yourself today on this beautiful Christmas day. On this beautiful Christmas day, what a gift you can give yourself. I'm going to ask everyone to repeat this prayer after me. A very simple prayer. Surrendering your life to Jesus. Maybe some of you here said, yeah, I've been a Christian, but I have sort of walked away, lived my life. Maybe you want to recommit your life to Jesus. I'm being a forerunner today. I'm putting an invitation out to you. So let's all close our eyes, and we've done this prayer before, but let's do it again. And everyone repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I surrender my life to you this morning. Lord, I make a decision this morning that I want to live my life for you. I repent of all my sins, for the sins that I have known and unknown. Jesus, today I ask you to come into my heart. Come and be my Lord and my Savior. I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want to believe in your word. In Jesus' mighty name. And maybe you're in this room and you've said this prayer for the very first time. Then just admit it in your heart. And then you may say that, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I want to live my life for him. And if you are that person today, unashamedly just wave your hand up in the air. Just say, yes, I have given my life to Jesus. I believe in him. I surrender my life to him. Do not be afraid. Do not be ashamed. You're inviting yourself into the family of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.